Morning. I was going to say I'm Spud, but I think pretty much everybody knows me here. Welcome to you today, all today. And I thank you for having the chance to be up here and to speak about Jesus. There's no greater privilege a man or a woman could ever have than to speak about our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll take an amen anytime. I'm going to share first in the welcome a personal thought I've had the last few days about this church. We all know that it's been a really tough time in our community for the last month or so. Disaster would probably be the word that fits. Let me share the word that came to me the last two mornings ago, and it was all over me. Joy. Joy. Hallelujah. Joy. Probably doesn't fit very well in this community right now. But with my whole heart, when I enter this building, when I walk through that door back there, that's what comes over me. It's joy. And what a privilege it is to have a Holy Spirit that gives us words like joy. And the reason I feel that the Holy Spirit has chosen that word for this building is you folks. A building doesn't bring joy. The folks in it by the Holy Spirit is what brings joy. And it's an amazing thing how when that happens, you feel it when you come through the door. And you guys know I've preached in an awful lot of different churches, and it seems like to me that every church has its own character. And for this one, I know now it's joy. And I can't think, especially what we've went through in this community, can there be a better word for this building and the people in it than joy, that anyone that comes in off the street will feel that in their heart, this is where I want to be. There's joy here. And I know that your folks here even have went through tragedies or going through tragedies. But what can we say? This is our nest of joy. So welcome, and I hope you can go home with the word joy in your heart, because it's such a privilege to know the Holy Spirit and to get a word like joy. Amen. If I foul up the bulletin, it ain't the first time. Our call to worship is in Revelation. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Amen. Thank you. Let's pray. Oh, Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we humbly ask for you to be with us this morning. Help us to look beyond our troubles, our pain, our situation, and the tragedies around us, and look to you for our help, our needs, our situation. Help us, Lord Jesus, to have a thankful heart for all the things you do for us, the blessings beyond number. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be an encouragement in our community, a blessing to the folks around us, even to those who choose not to desire you, Lord Jesus. Give us a specific hope and desire to help people, whatever the situation, Lord. Give us a burning desire to follow you wherever you would have us go. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and forever and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Amen. And from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, 24 through 29. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. My sermon today is Mary, Did You Know? Lord Jesus, I ask you to come and give us ears to hear. And Lord, I pray that the words that are spoken are from you and they will touch hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Mary, did you know? Did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. This is a surprise sermon. I was at a hayride at Christmas Eve in Acme, singing Christmas carols in the snow, and the fellow that asked people to speak asked me to speak on the 26th. Now, you know, if you're on a hayride on the 24th, that's not long to prepare a sermon. So, wouldn't you know, the 26th, we had a snowstorm. I was going to give it a shot, try to get there, but the guy called and told me, don't bother because there won't be anybody here. So that was fine, and so I didn't preach on that day. But Glenn called me 3 days ago and said, Spud, could you preach Sunday? Well, of course I said yes. And then I asked him, would it be all right if I used the sermon that was for Acme, and he thought that would be fine. So it's a sermon for two places, and I hope that the Lord touches your heart with it. I just told the story how Matt, the guy in Acme, surprised me, and I love them kind of surprises, by the way, to preach a couple days later. So I wondered what in a short time would be the thing I would love to tell people about. And people in Acme don't know me quite as well as people in Sumas, but I wanted to tell the story of being myself, the Lord blessing me by being born again. And my good buddy Bob and I have talked about these things between the two of us many times. What happens to a man who's a sinner and is changed in the twinkling of an eye? That time flies, but that was almost 40 years ago for me. When this happened, I cried out to Jesus on the highway, Lord Jesus, if you're real, I need you. Now, I know that's not the prayer they teach you how to do these things, but he heard it. Instantly, I knew I'd been set free. I loved guilt. If you had a little extra, I'll take yours too. But I felt like 100 pounds of guilt went off my shoulders. In a twinkling of an eye, it was gone. I still kind of nibble at it. It isn't that somebody told me this is how you have to do it, or this is how it must be. It's happened. And it changed. How do you say that? There's so many changes, but the world changes in front of you. You become a different person. Now, my personality is the same. I don't know how God does that. I'm still Spud. I don't look a whole, I'm not better looking. I don't know. All I know, it's real. And when Jesus changes us, it is real. So what does anyone do when this happens? Immediately you go to the scriptures, nothing else, to find out what's going on. But most people I know, including me, just about live in the scriptures for a while, seeking what's supposed to happen now. And so what would make most sense to me? I went to the book of Matthew, mostly always in the Gospels, but the Sermon on the Mount. And I feel like that there's no book, no part of Scripture anywhere that gives us, as Christians, how to follow Jesus. And so I lived in the Sermon on the Mount. And it just made good sense to me, because the four Gospels were written by guys that spent their time with Jesus. And all these, like the Sermon on the Mount, all these things, they heard firsthand. And they wrote down what he said. So a Christian with not a lot of training in being one, that's where I went. And so for approximately 3 years, I lived in the Sermon on the Mount. I don't think it tells us how a Christian should act. I don't like that word. I don't like the word act. It tells us what a Christian should be. He shouldn't have to act, because he is a Christian. And it should shine. It should happen. And I'm speaking about myself, because I know what I had was like before. And so I'm so pleased that the Lord took me to the Sermon on the Mount. Well, that's what the sermon was supposed to be about. And that's what I read out of. But the Lord threw me a curveball about 4 days ago. And he filled me. This just always happens about 3 to 4 in the morning. That's when I write sermons. That's when I feel like it's quiet. The Lord can speak to me. And it's important. So that's when I always wait until I believe that he's given me something to talk about. And out of nowhere comes, "Mary, do you know?" What? I can't. How do I do that? I'm speaking on the Sermon on the Mount. So this was, if you don't like this, blame it on the people of Acme, because that's who it's for. But no, it's for all of us. I've always loved Mary. I've always She's had a special place in my heart. We'll talk about that later, but I'll read what I love her reaction to what God had given her to do. Luke 1:30 through 35. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." And I love Mary's response. "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." I've always marveled at Mary's response. I would say perfect obedience. This young lady accepted what God had ordained for her to do. And I would ask the ladies here today, what would your reaction be if you were told you were chosen to be the mother of Messiah? Or for that matter, I'll ask your men, what if you'd been Joseph? Let's think of over that. I had to think, boy, I'm just a sodbuster from Sumas. Surely you've got the wrong guy. I ask a couple questions here and take home. I've been thinking about these things all week. Mary, how do you explain that to your neighbors? You ever heard of gossip? Boy, that fits pretty strong right there, doesn't it? You know what that lady said? And I don't picture Mary as somebody standing on the street corner. I think she was pretty quiet about all these things. But sooner or later it shows. Guess what? I used to think of these stories that come out of Linden, some really big shot Christians in Linden, and us Sumas folks would be telling jokes about when one of the young ladies would be bearing a child. But I got a feeling that was nothing compared to what Mary had to put up with. How would you do that, ladies? How would you handle that? You can hide. And I know when I grew up, when I was a little kid, that a lot of ladies did hide. But sooner or later, you can't hide that good. There's a baby. And I've been thinking about Mary. And I've come to the conclusion, and I know the Lord would, I know it's true. God doesn't make mistakes. So when he chose Mary and Joseph, he chose perfect people for, not they were perfect, but they were perfect people for the anointing he was going to put on them to do. How about you guys? How would you like to know that your neighbors are talking about your girlfriend is going to have a baby? How would you handle that thinking, I know what the angel said, but you know how them doubts sneak in your mind sometimes? Yeah, right. I think both of them were the absolute perfect people that God appointed to do that job for him. It's the only thing that I can come up with that makes any sense. That Mary and Joseph were chosen probably from the beginning of time to be the mother and father of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a tremendous privilege, what they had. But it also had to be a tough job. How do you explain those things to your neighbors? How do you explain those things to your family? I've thought about Mary when she's raising, I don't know how many kids she had, but it's quite a few. How do you raise the Son of God with, let's just say, six more siblings? How do you do that? I don't think there's a book around to tell you, but she did. And I've always admired her because she's just stood in the background. And this is my own personal opinion, and I've never heard only one other person say this, but I've had this from when I became a Christian. When I read this about Mary and what she said, and I believe with my whole heart that Dr. Luke got his first chapter, second chapter, probably even more, and Matthew both. Who was there firsthand? Give me a name. Mary. Yeah, Mary. And Simeon said that a steel would go right through her own heart for what was going to happen to her. And over in the scriptures it said she hid these things in her heart. Who knew it? Who knew it? Mary. And you mothers know more than a man would know what it's like to carry a baby and to have a baby. I can't speak to that. I never had one. But she knew. She knew the talk that must have been going on around about her. This beautiful young lady, 13 to 14, experts say she was 13 or 14 years old when this happened. She knew, and it was right here in her heart, she kept these things. And I really feel that a lot of the Gospels was, she never wrote them, I don't think, but I think they went to her to find out, because she's the only one that was present. And we know, pretty well know, that Joseph died fairly young because Jesus became the head of the family. And so he became a carpenter because that was the tradition, and it's a kind of a good tradition. The youngest or the oldest son becomes like the father. He leads the family. So Jesus became a carpenter. But I've often wondered how Mary handled. She must have did it with his diapers. He was a human. She had to do all those things that mothers do. So I love her a lot. I always have. I don't worship her. But I love her as strong as any person I could. She was the mother of Jesus Christ. Okay. I wanted to say these things and talk about the Sermon on the Mount, but I had to deal with Mary. Do you know? So what I thought I'm going to give Mary or the writer, his name was Lowry, and this song, there's no question, when I opened the book, I found it, it's from God. It was inspired. And he wrote all those wonderful things about Mary, did you know? So Spud put in a couple, Mary, do you know? Mary, do you know that your son would preach the most powerful sermon ever preached by the power of the Holy Spirit? Matthew records the Sermon on the Mount for all prosperity, and it is the purest teaching ever given to man, in my opinion. There is no other scripture given which more clearly states how Jesus' followers should live and be when the Holy Spirit makes us new. I believe that if we read and studied the Sermon on the Mount the rest of our lives, those scriptures would never stop revealing to us the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Jesus puts it this way in Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Then later on, and this is not in the Sermon on the Mount, but he's talking about the things when we seek that he'll give us. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. Then I have to ask myself and you folks, am I or you willing to take Jesus' yoke upon yourself? I think that's how we learn of him. Walk with him and take his yoke. He also tells us, and this is not in the Sermon on the Mount, but another one of these things that he gives us in Matthew 18, 2 through 5. Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little children, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one of these little child like this in my name receives me. I had a friend who's passed away probably 30 years ago, was my mentor. He was a dear friend and the most godly man I've ever met. His name was Percy Guttridge, and he was the wisest, most humble, and most godly man that I think this world has ever seen. I told him how much I loved the Sermon on the Mount, and this was his response. Spud, you have been given the most powerful, pure, and Holy Spirit teaching in the history of man. The Sermon on the Mount closes with the example of the houses built on sand and on the rock. The world would have had us to build on money, position, authority, prestige, reputation, education, abilities, and possessions. All of these things I've just named have a way of building pride. And Jesus has said, with pride comes a fall. But those houses built upon a rock, Jesus Christ, will always stand. We may suffer disasters, heartbreaks, and all the storms of life, yet with him we will stand. Jesus says to us, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what a precious gift we've been given. The second verse of Mary, did you know, goes like this. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy walked where angels trod? When you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God. I added another Mary, did you know? I know that your baby boy grew up to be a man, and while suffering and dying on the cross, one of his final words he spoke was to you, Mary, and to his best friend, John. Oh, the love he felt for his mom. John 19:26. And 27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. The thought about that is Jesus was that close to being dead, dying. And his mind was on his mother and took care of her. Took care of her. And what a privilege it was for his best friend John to have Mary, his mother, come and live with him. So what can we take from this for ourselves? Mary was God-focused and very, very obedient. When Jesus was presented as a tiny baby at the temple, Simeon prophesied to Mary that a sword would pierce through her own soul. Like Mary, we don't know the hardships that are ahead of us. But we do know that he has a purpose for each one of us. And that is our greatest joy, to be obedient to him and to allow him to fulfill his purpose in our lives. And we have his promise that he's with us until the end. Amen. Lord, thank you that you bring us into your family. We know, Lord Jesus, in that family we are called to seek your kingdom and righteousness, and you will supply not only our salvation forever, but also you'll guide us into what we should be and who we should be in your kingdom. Amen. We're going to take a shot at Mary, do you know? I don't know that I've ever sang this song. We're going to give it a shot. benediction. May the God of peace, who through the blood of eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.